Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. And now, folks, I want to give you this number. This is the number to Apothecary Herbs. Apothecary Herbs, because we have our own in-house scientist, Ms. Wendy Wilson. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. You're going to want to build up your immune system as strong as you can possibly get it, because there are bad people out there, and they are trying to depopulate the planet. We've been telling you about this for years and years, and they're doing that all around you. And the fake news media, NBC, ABC, CNN, PNN, PMSNBC, NPR, they will follow instructions. They will keep the story from you. They will not allow you to know what is really taking place. That's why we're here. Or you can go to www.thepowerherbs.com, and Ms. Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs will tell you how you can build up your immune system. Wendy, go ahead and give us some commentary on all of what you just heard.
I thought that was very informative. And venom peptides, yes, very, very on target there. I actually came across some research on kind of another level or layering of information on what they were just talking about. And this was research they were doing on how snake venom reacts in the human blood system, in your blood. It kind of creates a lot of metabolic disturbance, as you could guess. But this is the American Society for Biochemistry and Molecule Biology. They did this study in 2010, Pastor, where they were experimenting with snake venom and how the human body responds to it. So they said that they were looking for a way to make a new drug out of some snake venom to help, you know, heart attack and stroke patients because clotting, you know. So they knew from their research that some of these snakes, the venom would make you bleed instead of clot. So they were looking to possibly make a new drug from the venom of these snakes, since they influence blood and clots. So the snake venom, Pastor, that causes bleeding, these are called hemotoxic venoms. They come from six snakes: the adder, the rattlesnake, the cobra, the mamba, the crake, and the taipan. So those six snakes, if you naturally had venom from them, you got bit by them, you would bleed internally. You probably would bleed to death, okay? Now, they also were looking at snakes from vipers, the venom of viper snakes. And so the snake venom from vipers do the opposite. They don't make you bleed. They make you clot, okay? So the saw-scaled viper, or the Middle East and Central Asia viper called the Aegis canatus snake, I could spell and get it out. Those are the ones that would clot your blood. So vipers are very lethal. They have very lethal types of venom. But it's interesting, this research on all this venom and the proteins in venoms and the peptides in venoms. Multiple studies, a lot of research on venoms. And one of the things they said in the report, Pastor, is these venoms have what they call three-finger toxins. Remember that, three-finger toxins. And these tend to influence the protein and the enzyme action in the human body. Now, remember I said a lot of the keys for cell communications and function is a protein. It acts like a lock or a switch. Remember I told you that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what they're doing is they're unlocking certain things, and then they can control it. So there is snake venom that can cause a ribbon reaction in the blood, causing a stringy fiber to appear. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So basically, venoms will act differently depending on what you do to them. Okay, so they're synthesizing, making synthetic versions of the venom. But, you know, if you're pairing it with other venom, or if you're pairing it with bacteria, you know, like they were mentioning E. coli and things, it has a different reaction. So, because science has found the C-type receptor, this was a six-year study in collaboration with British scientists, and they worked together to produce this molecule, and they purified it from snake venom of the Southeast Asian pit viper, and they made what is called a rhizocytin, and it's a toxic substance. So the C-type receptor in this venom binds to your platelet molecule in your blood, and this encourages blood clots. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah. You've got all of these people dying from these blood clots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in fact, you know, they have commercials. You know, when I leave the radio station at nights, I'll hear they'll do a commercial talking about every couple of minutes somebody dies of a blood clot. And, you know, and they're wondering why it's such an increase, why so many more people are dying from blood clots nowadays than in the past. I guess it's really not a mystery, is it?
No, but, you know, back in 2021, the National Library of Medicine, because of that blood clot issue after the vaccine was released, they started suggesting that a snake venom be added to the COVID-19 shot to alleviate the clotting issue. Scientists may not have known how sophisticated and diabolical this whole setup is. Now, the Arizona University did a study. They examined patients that were given the COVID serum, and they published their findings in September 2021 in the Journal of Clinical Investigations. And they found venom enzymes, just like this, you know, clip you were playing, they found venom enzymes belonging to the rattlesnake in patients who were vaccinated. This is what Dr. Floyd Chilton at the University of Arizona stated. We found evidence that there was a rattlesnake enzyme in the blood of the people vaccinated in extraordinary high levels. Extraordinary high. So they wouldn't have got it getting bitten, is the point, from a snake. They wouldn't have gotten it that way. But here's the revelation in all this. This totally blew my mind. So here is what is really important to know about your snake venoms from snakes that cause being with your COVID-19 virus. It has the opposite effect. So when you add your snake venom to a virus, it can be a different action. Here is what the University of Arizona said. The snake-like enzyme is found in healthy people at low levels to prevent infections, but in cases of the COVID-19 virus, it is doing the opposite. Yeah. So when you add snake venom to a virus, instead of making you bleed, it can make you clot. And that's where the rattlesnake comes in. Remember, the rattlesnake venom is supposed to make you bleed, but you add it to a COVID virus, it does the opposite. It makes you clot.
All right. You almost get the opinion that you will have, that you end up with this venom in your blood by simply contacting COVID. And not just by taking the kill shots. Now,
I'm not sold entirely on that. Go ahead.
Because, you know, nowadays you don't know what is what. You know, they're calling what is COVID, what is the flu, and you know these people don't really, they're not that capable. You go in, they want to take the tests and. And you know, you just can't trust it anymore. And so now I understand they want to put the very same stuff in the flu shots.
They do the spike proteins. I did some research on that. This was some research out of the University of Edinburgh in Scotland and the College of London. They released some findings. What occurs when you mix COVID-19 pathogens with influenza pathogens, like adding COVID-19 to your standard flu influenza shot? The outcome wasn't very positive. Let's just put it that way. This is what they said in their report. Adults with COVID-19 and flu, at the same time, result in a greater risk of severe disease reaction and death compared to dealing with just one of the viruses alone. So it's just overwhelming to the system. But here's some findings. They said both COVID and influenza at the same time has a very deadly effect. They were studying over 305,000 hospitalized patients that had both the viruses at the same time. And science is telling doctors that, you know, the outcomes will be very different if a vaccine is used that would contain both viruses. In other words, they're telling doctors, ignore that 305,000 people that you saw in observational science mode, and just believe us that we're going to add COVID-19 to the flu shot, and they're not going to be sick like your patients that had both in the hospital. So it makes no sense. They said our research shows that patients having both COVID-19 and influenza virus experience significantly more severe outcomes. An influenza infection with COVID-19 could give rise to a situation where the patient enters the ICU and has to have assisted breathing with a ventilator. A double infection increases the risk. We found that the combination of COVID-19 and flu viruses is particularly dangerous. Co-infections like this increase the risk of negative outcomes, and we are surprised that the risk of death more than doubled when people were infected by both the flu and COVID viruses. Now, here's the other thing that we should be aware of. Co-infections like that are not common. They are not common. Professor Peter Openshaw, professor of experimental medicine at the Imperial College of London, he says being infected with more than one virus is not very common, but it is important to be aware that co-infections do happen. Now, my question is, okay, so they entered the hospital. They had COVID-19. That's why they were there. Who's to say they didn't get the flu while they were in the hospital? You know, picking it up at the hospital.
Yeah, you know, I know what you're saying. Now, this thing about these Canadian doctors, you're aware of that? What's been happening up there in Canada?
Yeah, I've heard about them, yeah.
Okay, so what is that? Is that what we're talking about? Is that what's killing them off?
Well, it could possibly be a reason. But, you know, this is just, to me, horrifying that they want to add COVID-19. Well, I was expecting it, really, because, you know, when you had your H1N1 bird pandemic, what happened? That thing wound up in your influenza shots, too. Now, your influenza shots usually have four different viruses in them, and usually they're picked out of the air as a guess to what may be circulating for that flu season. But now you're going to add COVID-19 to it, and as the hospital observations from doctors, 305,000 patients, they didn't do too well when they had both those viruses together.
All right. Well, we live in an interesting time, don't we?
Yeah, and people have to understand that medicine has a habit of giving you some information, but not all the information, and half the truth is still a whole lie, okay? Here's an example. When I was still working in healthcare, my oldest boy was 10, and his dad insisted that he get allergy shots because he could just look at certain things and, like, you know, poison ivy in the middle of winter and get it. So we go to the dermatologist, and they supposedly tailor a serum for you. It's specialized. It's for just you. I'm sitting in the office, and I'm reading the brochure on allergy shots, and I get through the thing, and at the very end it says, now be sure to stay at your doctor's office after you get your shot for 20 to 30 minutes just in case you have an allergic reaction, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, allergic reaction? My brain is saying, okay, rash, maybe hives, something like that. So when we get in the doctor's office and he's just about to give him the shot, I say, what about this allergic reaction stuff in this brochure that we're supposed to hang around for a half hour? I said, is that like a rash or something? He said, we're not worried about no rash. He says, we're talking about anaphylactic shock and respiratory arrest. Now, if a tailored-made serum can do that to you. Imagine what one that's not tailored to you can do.
Yep. You know.
And so they don't put that in the brochure because you wouldn't go get the shots. See?
Well, that's what we recommend to people out there. That's what I recommend. I wouldn't get a flu shot. I would avoid as much as possible any of these things because, again, we're living in a world and we're living in a place where big pharma, big money is pushing things. And a lot of the people, maybe good people in the medical field, they really don't know and they trust these people from Big Pharma not understanding their goal is to depopulate the planet. And
right.
So,
well, the thing is your doctors are, you know, only going to, you know, regurgitate information that they're told in the literature they're handed. So, you know, they're basically salesmen in a way for drug companies. They really don't have an understanding of immunology, most of them. They don't even know what's in the serums, basically. They just know they're getting a sheet of when to administer stuff.
Well, Wendy, we're going to switch gears here now. Before we do, tell the folks how they can boost their immune system. The best defense we have is a strong immune system, is it not?
Well, that's the God-given defense. He designed it. It's very sophisticated, but medicine seems eager to redesign it and educate it the way they think it should be. But I wouldn't do that. I trust the Lord. He created the human body. He knows what we need, and so he's also provided medicinal plants, which he has stated in his good word, are here for the healing of the nations and for the service of man, and God can't lie. So I'm leaning on the chemistry God provides in a lot of the medicinal plants. And, yes, there are a lot of plants that can boost immune system. When we say boost immune system, I know people have heard from their doctors, you can't do that. The herbs can't boost your immune system. Well, if you've been taking vaccines and antibiotics, your immune system has been suppressed. So what herbs can do for immunity that work to help build it up, bring it back to normal is what we're looking for. We're bringing it back up to where God wants it. And so we use immune support herbs. We use herbs to detox toxins, get them out, and we also use herbs to strengthen our metabolic functions, and that's what we do.
All right. And you can, the folks who find out more about that, they can get your dynamite catalog by going to www.powerherbs.com. www.powerherbs.com or call him, your office at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you come into my room, you might think you're in a health food store because I got about everything that you make there. And I got to stay alive and keep fighting this fight until we win. It's not over and we're fighting forces of darkness, so now, Craig.
Say, occupy until he comes, right?
Absolutely. Craig, you mentioned John McTernan. Is he on the line? Okay. All righty. He was probably calling in about the election. And so we're going to switch and go over there and talk about what was coming up. And I'll just call it. What do you have, Joe?
Well, one big thing I've noticed is not what's not on Newsmax, Fox, any of the major stations, Project Veritas took a hidden camera with a Philadelphia poll worker, and he's captured doing illegal electioneering. And they've got this gentleman, you know, he's promoting John Fetterman and Josh Shapiro. And this committee person, his name is Rudy Stewart, and he presented papers, official Democrat City Committee ballot, and for the general election in Philadelphia County. And you've got him on tape asking people, anyone need Democratic Party information? And he's pointing to Dr. Oz's name and a list of candidates pinned to the wall, and we're all scared of him. And they've got a training guide that was printed for the election board officials, and this Project Veritas has pictures of it and shows them handing out campaign materials telling voters which candidates to support. That is illegal electioneering.
Yeah.
O'Keefe, you know, was right there at the entrance of the polling center. And
but you know what? Hang on just a minute there, Joe.
And Shapiro campaign posters right there at the front of the polling place.
Do you know what, Joe? I believe we have a clip on that. It's a short. Craig, do we have that clip? The clip about the those there in Pennsylvania where they were in Philadelphia, where they were promoting right inside the polling place, even inside where they were handing out and what they were calling, what were you calling that? What did they have? There's a law against it, but they were doing it in the open.
Campaign material, and they had a election guide.
It's called electioneering.
Officials.
I think we have that clip, don't we? Let me see. I can't. Yep.
Anyway, while you're...
That's it. It's a short clip, I think.
No, Democrats don't know. Because we're trying to focus on if a Democrat wins, at least.
Boy, that's the. That's it. But.
Come over well.
No, it's because.
I mean, the Democrats don't know. Because we're trying to focus on if a Democrat wins, at least it should represent us.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That doesn't look good.
You know, I should vote for Fetterman, right?
I would say so. That's
okay.
My advice.
And not vote for Oz, right?
So, yeah. I did that whole thing like a good song, nigga.
I'll tell you, these two are going to win regardless. So this is your big one.
I need to vote for Oz. Why again?
No, Fetterman.
No.
Oh. Be a weed guy.
I asked you to vote the Republican. You mean the Democrats down the whole
So you, do you think I should vote down ballot Democrat too?
Huh? I mean, this is how I choose. I choose the Democrat.
Okay.
And make it so easy. I don't bother Republican because they're the Trump people. But if you want the Democrat win, you focus. If we all focus on Democrat, we can win.
Right.
If we spread, you know, this one, that one, we made.
So, like you.
Because we're trying to focus on if a Democrat win, at least it should represent us.
Yeah. So
we have to be united right now.
Right. Think I should vote down ballot on the Democrat?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay.
I agree with you. That doesn't look good.
Okay, we're just going to stop it there because it just goes on. And they're right there in Philadelphia breaking the law. But here you go, Joe. This is in Detroit, and boy, I'm going to tell you, we caught them again here in Detroit. They catch them late-night operatives moving van loads like they did before, like they did in 2020, of suspicious ballots away after legal deadline in Detroit, Michigan. So Michigan polls closed at 8 p.m. yesterday, Election Day 2022. The results strongly favoring Democrats shocked the pollsters and the prognosticators, who predicted some degree of a red wave that never materialized. The results directly conflict with the perception by many campaign professional pollsters and those in the media that they were predicting strong Republican gains. But, of course, nothing was done in response to the 2020 voter fraud, well documented by outlets like the Gateway Pundit. In fact, the Republicans of Michigan even made it easier to cheat by allowing clerks 2 extra days to process ballots, giving potential bad actor clerks more time to cheat. This is in addition to the widespread observations of major problems with voting machines. And there you go. Thank you.
I spent hours today, Pastor, and he's looking at different things. And what should have been a red wave came down, I think, to this. The corruption in the voting, they still had mail-in ballots, they still had to drop boxes, they still had a lot of the same problems that caused, you know, trouble in the last election. We again had the huge media surge of blocking Republican candidates from getting their messages out. They were knocked off of Facebook and Twitter and all the social media. We had the media with its continual disinformation and fear tactics. Remember Chris Hayes there, you know, the GOP victory would be the end of democracy, you know. And, well, it didn't end today as far as I know. I think we're still here. But you've got this early voting. All these three things go together. The corruption backed by the media, disinformation compiled with the early voting. And then you have this money. Most of these elections, like you look at Florida, even the winners down there, the Republican winners, were saying how they were outvoted 10 to 1, you know, 5 to 1, and they still were able to win with this huge amount of dark money that comes in. We have these people like George Soros and all his groups backing these candidates. So in most of the elections across the country, the Dems outspent, and they backed Fetterman with all kinds of money. In fact, what was it? They had two candidates alone. I think that was Stacey Abrams and
Big Toll Rook.
Big Toll, yeah. $200 million between the two were backed, and they spent that money on losers. So what you've got, folks, we've got a system that Carrie Lake has come out and said she's going to, if she gets makes it the governor there in Arizona, she's going to simplify the election system, go back to local vote in your school, vote in your churches. She wants to go back to paper ballots that could be counted there locally, you know, so we can have election night. Everybody will know the winner. She wants people to come in and have it present an ID. This is what we have to work for nationwide.
I know, but think about this, okay? Katie Hobbs. Okay, she was the Secretary of State. She, Katie Hobbs, was the one in charge of this. Now, she's Carrie Lake's opponent.
She should have recused herself.
Right, she should have recused, you know. So you know how that would work, Joe? It's like if you and I were running against each other, and I would say, Joe, okay, go ahead. We've had our election. I'm going to count up the votes now, Joe. So let's see here. Here's one for me, and here's one for you, and there's
There's two for me.
There's three for you. 1, 2, 3 for me. There's four for you. 1, 2, 3, 4 for me. See, that's the way it works.
Yeah. Well, we look what they were doing. What was funny is Hobbs and her people, instead of double checking everything before, what were they doing? Having big voter rallies and turnouts and things and fundraisers. She didn't go and check the equipment, didn't supervise the things she was supposed to be doing. And, of course, we saw, over 20% of the voting machines there in just Maricopa County alone were down and didn't work. So, again, we need to, folks, we've been telling you, you've got to get a hold of your local elections. It has to be controlled at a state level. You have to get your state people, your local state government to have free and fair elections. We need to go back to voter ID. We need to go back to simple ballots without all this fancy computer stuff that can be hacked and played with. You know, good old-fashioned France, a couple of the big countries in the world, uses the old paper ballot. They can have them in a pile. You can see them. You can count them. And look at Florida. They had everything counted. They had everything under control in one night before, you know, before the middle of the night, they knew what was going on. So we have to take a look at that, and then we have to understand one thing. The education system we have across America is raising future libs, future radicals, future socialists. And until you either, A, get your children out of the public school system, get them in Christian school, homeschool, or we take back the complete education system in America and change it, we will continue to lose ground. We will never be able to beat the left, the socialists, the communists. as long as they are the ones brainwashing, educating your children and grandchildren. It is a no-win situation unless we break that cycle and quit letting the devil educate our children.
Remember what the title of the message was, Joe? The title of the message that I preached this week was what? The crisis is over,
crisis
so now
is
we
over.
Can...
We can be at ease.
Right, not... And this is exactly what I'm talking about. This happens every time. This is, you know, right now we have to... First of all, here's what we have to do. These are very, very important. One, you know what they're planning on doing on November 15th, President Trump is planning on announcing his candidacy for president. On the 16th, they're going to charge him with perjury. They're going to announce that they're going to. Now,
lying to the FBI.
Right.
And that's the setup. We talked about that in this show.
We cannot allow them to do this to President Trump. If the people in this country allow them to do it to President Trump, we're doing it to ourselves, folks. You have to understand. You have to understand. We have to stop it. First of all, you do not listen. The Department of Justice is no longer the Department of Justice. It's a crooked. It has become corrupted and crooked. It has no legitimacy. They are not legitimate. Merrick Garland is a dirty cop. He's a corrupt cop. He's a dirty cop. And you do not, in fact, the Bible tells you that if you give honor to a person like that, that's a sin. It's a sin.
Yeah.
Just like they don't understand, you know, the Bible is very clear. To vote for a wicked person is a sin. God is not mocked. And somehow people think, well, God's got a short memory. Yeah, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm not going to vote for Herschel Walker. No, I'm going to vote for Warlock. Yeah, that's what I'll do. But God, listen, folks, God doesn't have a short memory. God means what he tells you. He keeps a record. And you have to understand that look around in your country. Your children are dying by the thousands because, why? Because you have forgotten your God. You have forgotten your God. God is not mocked. And so, and I'm not obviously not talking to the people that have not forgotten their God. But folks, you think you could go ahead and continue doing this and then scratch your head and wonder why things are the way they are. God is not mocked. Between now and December 6th, we have to make sure that Herschel Walker gets that seat back. Okay?
Yes.
We have to. Folks, you and I have to. You people in Atlanta, Georgia out there, and all through Georgia, you better understand something. Again, like I said, God's not mocked. You got two candidates. The Bible tells you expressly to give honor to whom honor is due, but to honor a wicked person. A wicked person is someone who is pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, all of the things that this warlock guy is. And the Bible makes it very clear that if you honor a person like that, the nation should abhor you and let the nations let him be accursed. Now, that's what the Word of God says. At
he
some point,
himself a pastor, but he's of the synagogue of Satan, not.
You're right.
By the fruit are you known. Look at his fruit, what he has backed, what he has promoted, what he has voted for. He has proven he's in the synagogue of Satan, not that of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. He's every bit a pastor as Al Sharpton is.
Yeah,
put it that way. Yeah.
Remember, where is it? Here it is. Yeah. Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. And we look at the lies coming out of our Joe Biden and his team there at the White House, and we see it all through the Justice Department, FBI, IRS, you go down the line all the way through. We see nothing but lies, and lies have to be fought with the truth of God.
Just like this here. The Antifa in Portland, last night, remember we had the caller from Portland? He called in and he said they're probably, if the Republicans win, they're going to set the city on fire. He said everybody's boarding up, it's been on the news, they're boarding up all the storefronts and that because Antifa in Portland is boasting. They were boasting about committing voter fraud. They they posted on a tweet boasting that about all the numerous times in Oregon that they have committed voter fraud. And in Oregon, with a corrupt governor and a corrupt mayor, you can do it because there is no law and order. And so they have that universal mail-in voting. You can vote. You don't even have to be alive to vote in Oregon. So
right. We've told people from day one that the worst thing out there that they could do is allow the universal mail-in ballots. Even go back 20 years, the Democrats themselves said, you know, that was the worst form of voting because of the possibility of corruption, of illegal voting.
It's ironic because when Hillary was running against Obama back in 2008, she was complaining about that.
Yeah. Yeah. If it hurts them, they complain. If it helps them, they want more of it. So yep. We have a long way to go in this country. We've got to learn that we have to be eternally vigilant. We have to be involved in politics on the local level. We have to start at the bottom and work our way up, get control of things in our own hometowns. And we have to get our children in a safe place for education.
Here, you know, Roger Stone, he wrote that, he said, I seriously feel that we are watching the first wholly manufactured election in our history. And he said, I seriously feel like we're watching the first wholly manufactured election in our history in which all of the key competitive races have had the results directly programmed by the cabal. The most crushing economic conditions, rampant crime, reckless foreign... Oh, that's the other thing. Nuclear war, flirtations, and the most aggressive, perverse assaults on family and parental rights in history, all topped off with an embarrassing, unpopular disaster in the White House, leading a shrill, tin-haired, bellicose fascist junta that appears indifferent to the ordeal they are inflicting on working people, and yet the Democrats' monolith that was barely dented. Here, you're right. 70% of the people said they are totally very unsatisfied with the way things are going. And so, but yet they all going out here. Now, he goes on to say, either the country has large states filled with brainwashed cells who are too stupid and mindless to comprehend the reality of the collective damage they are ratifying with their votes for the best lackluster, at worst, appalling, deficient, if not retarded, candidates, or we are seeing direct black box voting manipulation at the level of final tabulations being perpetrated on a scale that renders typical ballot and voter fraud schemes unnecessary anachronisms as the decisive votes, anachronisms as the decisive votes, and that have now kept the ruling junta largely intact, or most just a hair from having an operating majority at literal fabrications piled into Democratic vote totals by a few keystrokes entered in some master election hacking operation run by IC criminals in league with a part of the Democratic crime syndicate. Boy, he couldn't be more right.
Yeah, look at the states that had good results for the Republicans. Florida had cleaned up the voting system, and look what happened. You've got even Broward County, tremendous. They had no problems this time. They didn't have any messes with the ballots or troubles. Everything went smooth. Why? It was a free and fair election done under rules. We saw, where was it? Georgia was supposed to be, something 2.0. What's that horrible thing they were calling it? Jim Crow 2.0, because they had to have ID and stuff. No, they had more people voting, better turnout, and they also had a quick tabulation of results. You know, we've we've got to have free and fair elections or we'll never get anywhere.
Right. Well, I don't know if we'll ever have free and fair elections in this country again unless we can get Trump back in. Right now what they're trying to do is cause friction between Trump and DeSantis. And unfortunately, you have a lot of people who are supposed to be, you know, the true patriots, and they're saying now, you know, we're just having too much trouble. We love Trump. We think he's great, but they're not going to leave him alone, so let's switch over to DeSantis. In other words, they don't understand. If they allow them to do this to Trump, they will do it to DeSantis too, do they?
That's right.
No.
Exactly. And what's the purpose? Trump's only going to be able to go one term, and it'd be the perfect setup to have Trump get started and then bring in somebody like DeSantis that's popular, younger, and a little more experience under his belt, and we would have it a wonderful situation.
Okay, very good. All right, we have here Soros-backed group demands IRS use Johnson Amendment against churches. Let me ask you, Joe, now, okay. Here, the Johnson Amendment, doesn't that only just affect 501c3s, right?
Right.
Okay, so...
After Lyndon Johnson, the one who kind of led the churches into getting a 501c3 in the first place, kind of a bait and switch. The idea of keeping the some church pastors went after him for some of the stuff he was doing. He got real angry, wanted to get even with them, get back at them, and he set up the idea of the 501c3, where the churches would no longer be free; they would be under the control of government. And now he wants to use that power to shut them up, speaking out anything at all on elections or on issues.
So if we allow, look, if you become a 501c3, you enter into a contract with a state. Should we let Wendy explain this to us? Because she's pretty smart. Hey, Wendy, are you there?
I'm here.
You got Hal and Cliff both? Okay, anyhow, we're moving. Hal, you hang in there, because I think Hal is going to give an invitation tonight. Okay, all right, let's go. We'll just, you know what, I'll do this thing tomorrow on the 501c3. Go ahead, bring up Hal. Hey, Hal. Hello, Hal. Hal, you fell asleep again, didn't you, Hal? I'll bet he's snoring. He had about...
Put him on hold too long, huh?
Yeah, I think... Well, he was at the doctor's today, so he probably... He's tired. He probably fell asleep. All right. So let's go to Clifford. I know Cliff's got questions, too.
Yeah. Wendy, I want to ask you about a couple of herbs. Elder leaf and goldenrod leaf or flower. And do you recommend something for people that get the blues in the winter because of the lack of sunshine and maybe, gets with the clock being turned back and the lack of sunshine in the evening?
Okay, so I heard goldenrod. What was the other plant?
Elder.
Elder. Yeah, those are excellent for removing impurities, especially bacteria. You use them a lot for, like, UTIs, urinary tract infections. And with regard to the SAD, you're describing the SAD, seasonal affective disorder, where the days get shorter and you have less sunshine. People in, like, Oregon, the Seattle area, where they get lots of gloomy, rainy days, people, a lot of depression there. So people get depressed when they don't get their sunshine. I like to use the full-spectrum light bulbs that you can... because they have a blue powder on them, but it stimulates sunlight, so it lifts your mood. So you can use those in your house and at work. But it's the sunlight that's affecting a lot of people. And I like to use valerian root instead of antidepressants, so it just takes tension out of the nervous system. So less toxic effects if you use herbs over the prescription. That's my opinion.
Right. And how about, I think it's rose petal. What's the rose petal?
Rose petals, they typically like to use those at the turn of the century as an antibacterial kind of agent. So they would often put rose petal oil on as an antibacterial agent. So.
Right, right. And generally, like, what's in the stuff topical? That like, what do you have that's applied topical, and why?
What do we have applied topically?
We have
at Apothecary Herbs, we have some deep tissue rubs for, you know, pulled muscles, things for arthritis, stuff like that. And then we do have a skin poultice that draws out impurities. So if you got, like, poison ivy, let's say, or a bee sting, pulls those impurities out of the skin. So those are the things that we typically have topical. Most of our stuff's internal, though.
Like, what do you think of this push to give people, like, I heard Oprah got two knee replacements. Like, what would you recommend for people that are on, like, deteriorating knee joints, like, to avert something like that, you know?
Yeah, I know a lot of people take the CoQ10s and things like that for joint support. I think the best joint support is your plant-based calcium, because it has the other minerals of boron, magnesium that the body has to have in order to use the calcium to strengthen those joints, connective tissues, bone, muscles. So I like to use the plant-based calcium. The problem is you don't want to wait, so you don't, if you got such wear and tear that you don't have any cartilage in between the joints, and then you have bone on bone, so that's a real difficult situation to come back from.
All right. Well, thanks, Cliff. We're running out of time. So thanks for calling. You know, we're at that time right now where we're living in how much time do I have there? Okay. Folks, look around you. Do you see what's happening? We kind of know that the fix was in. Remember I was telling you that I got a bad feeling that the fix was in. And it was. And just like Roger Stone said, this whole thing was manufactured. We're living in a time the Bible calls the time of sorrows, the evil day, and the days of birth pangs. Exactly the way the word of the Bible says. Now, you have to understand, the Bible is the only actual source of information in existence, folks out there, it's the only thing. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth pass, but his words will always stand. There's nothing as true, nothing as authoritative, nothing as authoritative out there, nothing as exact, nothing as precise as the Word of God. Now, the extreme intelligence, the intelligence that created the entire universe, has given us a book here, and he's to tell us if we will do a couple things. If we will be obedient to him and we will put our trust in him, he will show us how to leave this world and how to live forever with him. Now, again, you say, well, how do we know God's real? Well, you know, if God's not real, you're not here. If you're here, then you were made in the image of someone, and God says he's the one who done it. And so, with that, what you need to do, every one of you out there listening out there, the time will come again. We've told you a million times. Right now especially, and you might not, you know, you might not be here come tomorrow. You don't want to run out of tomorrow's tonight. This is a very urgent time, the days we're living in. And so, if I were you out there, if you have not called upon the name of the Lord, and don't say, well, you know, I'll do that someday, but right now I don't want to do that because I don't want to feel obligated, and I kind of want to party for a while before I do that, you know, bad choice because you may not have a while. It's not your call. It's God's call. And like the Lord said to the wise farmer who owned all of the silos, when he talked about, well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going, instead of repent, instead of feeding the hungry and doing the Lord's work, he said, no, I'm going to store this grain up and I'm going to make more money. And the Lord said, no, you're not. No, you're not. Because your soul will be required of you tonight. And that's what, everything you have will go to somebody else, right? Well, folks, you don't want to hear that. Your soul will be required of you tonight. What you want to do is make sure that when your soul is required of you, you're not living in your sin. You don't die in your sin. What you want to do is make sure that when you die, you'll spend eternity in glory. And here's how you do that. You call upon the name of the Lord. You pray. You pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of sin. You call upon the name of the Lord. You ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, completely and totally, without any exceptions, folks. And once you have done that, once you have done that, you will become a new creature. You will become a born-again believer. And then you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit, okay? Joe, why do I know all of that?
Well, you know, because you have God's Word and you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to verify.
All righty. Wendy, do you know anyone that's ever regretted getting saved?
I heard, Wendy, do you know, and I didn't hear the rest of that.
Do you know of anyone that has ever, ever regretted being saved, receiving Christ as a Savior?
I can't say that I do.
Now, someday, everyone listening out there today will be a believer. There are no unbelievers in heaven or hell. All of those that are in heaven now and all of those that are in hell are believers. But you'd be much better off to be a believer in heaven, huh? Yeah. And so what about they say, well, you know, that's just a religion. The Bible's just a book. No, the Word of God is real. It's reality. God, there's nothing more real, than the Word of God, folks. And
we don't have a religion. We have a personal relationship with God himself through his son, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. But the life that we're living here on this earth right now, the Lord describes as being but a vapor that appears before an instant. What we're looking for is for eternity. We're all going to reach eternity, either in heaven or hell. We want to do it in heaven. And so, folks, I encourage you to do that tonight, to pray. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, read it and do it. Until tomorrow, we're up against it. As we do at this time every night, we want to say good night.
Good night.
God bless. And always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.